Hi guys, thank you for tuning in to episode 66 of the Kitchen Stitches podcast. My name is Summer. You can find me on Ravelry and on Instagram as Summer Yarns, and that is SommerYarns. And I am recording tonight. This is Thursday, December the 3rd. I am recording from a hotel room in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. So hopefully there won't be too bad ambient noise from the air running in the background. But I am halfway to Birmingham, Alabama. I left right after work today, so around 3:15. I drove to Baton Rouge, and then I'm driving to Birmingham tomorrow. My dad is getting married on Saturday, and I'm on my way there. And since I found myself with a completely empty hotel room minus myself, I thought it would be a fantastic time to record. I apologize for how long it has taken. Actually, this isn't that much later than I said I would. I knew that it would probably be after Thanksgiving. And here it is. It's just so hard to find time these days. I really enjoy recording, and I plan to keep recording, but it may not be on quite as regular a schedule as it was before. I do have quite a bit to talk about. I have been just knitting like crazy. So the last time I recorded was right after I got back from my brother's funeral, and my therapy that week was to knit all the things, and I did indeed. I think I cast on 4 things that week. And I've been knitting on a lot of other things too. So I've got a lot of works in progress to talk about, a couple of finished objects, some spinning. Believe it or not, even though we just had Thanksgiving, I only have one thing that I really want to talk about for in the kitchen. And on the nightstand, I have a few books that I'll just mention a little bit. And then, of course, I have my Pottiversary giveaway that I will do at the very end. So let's talk about some knitting. So finished objects. I've finished 2 hats over the past few weeks. And both of them were kind of spur-of-the-moment cast-ons. The first one was the Simple Hat, and this is a pattern by Alicia Plummer, and it's a paid pattern on Ravelry, and I used some of my hand spun, and I was actually thinking about what I was going to knit with this ever since I spun it, actually. And then on the way back from Mississippi a few weeks ago, I researched it and found this pattern that I wanted to do, and I think I cast it on the next day. So I used some hand-spun knitting and color in the Street Spirit colorway. It was merino silk, and I did a traditional 3-ply. And it was about a sport weight. And like I said, the pattern was a simple hat, and it was indeed simple. I mean, it's just a very basic hat with ribbing and stockinette and just a really quick decrease. The only thing I don't like about this hat is that it is a little short. I probably should have knit about an inch more. And I had plenty of yarn to do that too. I think I was a little conservative just because I didn't know if I had enough. But in retrospect, I had. It fits fine, but it doesn't cover my ears. I do really like it though. The other hat that I finished, I knit for my supervisor at work for her birthday. I had been looking for a pattern, or sometimes actively looking, but she likes owls, and I had been thinking about knitting her something over the past year or two, but I wasn't sure exactly what I wanted to knit. And I've looked at mitts and other things, and I was browsing through Instagram and saw the Noctua hat, which is by Nell Knits, and this was a paid pattern. I actually bought it as part of the Indie Gift Along I think I bought it two weeks ago, whenever the Indie Gift Along kicked off. And it is cable pattern. It has that owl cable pattern all the way around it with some twisted stitches that make kind of a ribbing along it. It is really pretty. And I used Valley Yarn Amherst in Olive, and it was just a perfect yarn for this. Now, again, I have some remorse with this one. In the last hat, I was saying that I wish that I had made it a little longer. This one, I wish I made it a little bit shorter. It was just a little slouchier than I had wanted it to be. But looking at the pictures, it looked like it was going to be too short. It looked like I was going to have the same issue that I did have with the simple hat. I didn't think it would come down far enough to cover the ears. So I added a couple of repeats of just the real basic pattern after the owls and before the decreases, which on the pattern it says you may want to do that to make a slouchier hat. So I did that and then regretted it. But at that point I had done all of the decreases and I just didn't feel like ripping it back out. So that was a little frustrating, but it turned out great and my supervisor really liked it. She actually, the day after I gave it to her, she came, she's like, "I'm so glad I had this because I didn't have anything in my bag and it was cold this morning." So that's just what a knitter wants to hear. So that worked out very well. Now, works in progress. I think I currently, I don't know how many works in progress I actually have on the needles, but I am actually going to talk about, I believe, 9 works in progress today. And these are all things that I have actively worked on for at least one day, well, one evening, over the past, was it 3 weeks since I recorded? 2 or 3 weeks? So, first things first, I have been working on the Harry Potter house sweater that I am making for my daughter for Christmas. And this one I have been working on steadily at work, and I brought it home over Thanksgiving and worked on it at least a little bit every day and have been making very, very steady progress. I am almost done with the sleeves. I think I have, I would say maybe an inch to go on the sleeves. I'm doing them 2 at a time. And then all I have to do is seam it together and then do the neckband. Now, I brought it with me. Depending on how tired I am, I could probably watch something and finish that up tonight. And then I didn't bring the other parts of it with me, so I can't do any seaming. And I also need to block the pieces before I seam it together. I had really, really wanted to finish the sweater before my daughter comes home from college for winter break, but that's not going to happen. She actually comes home a week from Saturday. Yay! I am so excited. I've missed her so much, and I cannot wait to see her. It just makes my heart skip a little bit. I'm just so excited. Unfortunately, that I won't have the sweater finished, but I do think it will almost certainly be finished for Christmas. It just won't be finished before she gets home. So this is what, at this point, I need to finish the sleeves, I need to block the pieces, and then I need to seam them together, and then I need to do the neck band. The problem is I've been working on this completely at work, and I don't think I want to do the seaming at work just because I want to concentrate on it. I don't want to make any mistakes. I want to make sure it looks great. So, with that being said, I don't remember what I was going to say. I talked about this at lunch today. My plan, I think, is what I had hoped to do was have it done so she wouldn't see me working on it. I think ultimately that's just not going to work. I think if I have it, if I bring it home and work on it and try to get it seamed, actually, I can probably get it blocked on Monday, which will give me Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday to seam in the evenings. I have no idea how long it's going to take me to seam it because I've never done that before. But it is possible that I'll have time to get that done. In which case, then I can take it back to work the next week and do the neck band at work. There is a possibility that I can get it done without her seeing it. It just won't be done before she gets here. Anyway, that sweater I am doing out of Valley Superwash DK, and the main color is O2, which is steel gray, and the stripes are in classic navy and silver, which are the Ravenclaw colors from the book, I believe. One of them is navy and silver, and one of them is navy and bronze, either the book or the movie. I think the book is silver, and that's what she wanted. So that's what I'm doing. Oh, and the pattern for this is from Charmed Knits. It's I don't remember who the author is, but it is a book full of Harry Potter-related knitting patterns. The next thing, and these are in no particular order, this is just as I remembered them looking through my Ravelry project page today. I have also worked on my skew socks. I've worked on these very, very little since the last time I recorded. Not last night, but the night before, might have been the first time that I had worked on those in a couple of weeks. So I don't remember if I had talked about how I had messed these up the last time I recorded. Honestly, I don't remember when I messed them up. I had worked on them and then realized that I had missed an entire portion of the pattern. Or I don't even remember exactly what I had done wrong. So I had had to tink out quite a bit. And then I picked them up and couldn't remember exactly where I was. And I think I ended up tinking again the other night. And finally got back on track. And I am almost done with the heel shaping on the first sock. And then I'll have to do some origami work on them to make them turn into socks. And you Kitchener the end of them, or the heel somehow. I'm not quite sure how that's going to work out yet. But I'm not there quite yet. I'm almost there. And the skew socks are a free pattern from Knitty. And the designer is Lana Holden. And I'm using Undead Yarn on I can't remember how to say it. Vampiri base in Children of the Cornflower. And it is a merino nylon base, and it is super, super soft. It feels like cashmere. There's cashmere in it. I love working with that yarn. The only thing I can say about it, I have had to tink a lot, and it has held up pretty well, but it has shown a little bit of wear. But most of the time, you're not going to have to tink back as much as I am. So I would not let that deter you from that yarn, and it won't deter me either. I'll definitely buy more of this. It's so, so, so soft. So that is the skew socks. I really like the pattern. What I did on Knit Companion, I was piecing together two parts of the pattern, and I pasted part of it on the wrong page. So I didn't see it. And then did something wrong, and yeah. So now I've got notes in there to remind myself, don't forget to do this part, which is on the previous page. A little frustrating. I have also worked quite a bit on the Cerise, which is the second pattern in Hunter Hammerson's Curls book. I'm using Dream and Color Starry in the Purple Rain colorway, and it is super sparkly. And if I can get it finished by the end of December, I can count this for the Sparkle Knit Along in the Bookish Stitcher podcast group. Because it is super, super sparkly. I think I've only got about maybe six more rows on that. The problem is I can do maybe 2 rows per night. They are really long and they take a long time to do. It's not just simple stockinette, so it does take me a while. But I am very excited to be almost done with this. I have not particularly enjoyed knitting it. It's going to be really pretty. It's not hard, except the end of it that makes it curl always throws me off, and even after however many months, I still have to look at the pattern for that. But I am going to be happy with the finished product. I am not enjoyed knitting it very much. The Clue Shawl, which is a paid pattern by Very Busy Monkey. I have been working on that a little bit. I've done more on that than I have on some of the other things. I'm using Madeline Tosh Sock in Tarte, which is beautiful dark red. And this is a fun pattern. It has, it's just a textured shawl with some cabling, and it's the way the little textured sections are broken up. They're about 12 stitches each. Just makes it fly off the needles, it seems like. So I can get several rows of this done in a night if I'm working on that. Really happy with that one. I really, really like Very Busy Monkey patterns. The other thing, and I think I talked about this last time, was the Drunkard's Path headband. I am doing this also out of my handspun. It's a free pattern by Kathy Snodgrass, and I'm using handspun Mountain Colors BFL Blue Face Luster in the lilac colorway. And it's super bulky. Well, not super bulky. It is bulky. And it is on the bulkier side of bulky, but it wouldn't be classified as like a super bulky like Malabrigo Rasta or something like that. But I haven't worked on this in quite a while, but I believe I have maybe one pattern repeat and then just finishing it up before I seam it together, which is not very much. So I just need to do that. And I don't know what this is going to look like on. I'm not a big knitted headband person, but I didn't have that much of this handspun, and I wanted to do something with it. So we'll see how it works. If I don't like it, maybe Laura will like it, and I can give that to her. I also cast on, right after our podcast the last time, a pair of vanilla socks using some handspun that my mom gave me. My mom is a free spirit on Ravelry. And it is handspun BFL nylon from Greenwood Fiberworks in the Mallard colorway. And I'm just doing a vanilla sock on those. So I've done the toe. I'm using the toe, and I'll probably use the heel from Megan Williams OMG heel sock pattern. I might do a different heel on it. I'm not sure. But I followed her toe and have knit probably about 2.5-3 inches on that. Not a whole lot. And I kind of forgot that I had it on the needles. Not really forgot, but I kind of forgot that I had a vanilla sock on the needles. It just hadn't really triggered with me. And I need to just stick those in the car so that I can have them to knit on, or in my bag or something, so that I can carry them with me. The yarn is fingering weight, but it is on the heavier side of fingering, so it's almost a sport. So these are going actually pretty quickly, and I really like the way they're looking. The handspun is just, it's so much fun to knit with handspun, because you don't know what it's going to look like, and you just kind of appears, and it's just so much fun. I really, really love knitting with my handspun, or in this case, my mother's handspun. I also cast on the Leona Dare shawl, which is a paid pattern by Elizabeth Green Musselman, and I have done very, very little on this. Basically, I was just dying to cast it on, so I cast it on, and then haven't done anything else on it. It is a striped shawl, so the body of it is striped, and then the, trim, or edging, yes, the edging, that's what you call that, is in a solid, And it's the same, one of the solids that you've done the stripes in. And I am using Sweet Georgia Tough Love Sock in the Summer Skin colorway, which is a, kind of, it's a sky blue color, and Slate, which is obviously slate. It's a dark gray. I have to say, I'm not 100% sure I made the best yarn choice. I've wanted to do these two colorways together for a long time, and I'm not really sure why. And when I started doing it, the gray is a little darker than I thought it would be. But I think once I've done more, I'm going to like it. It's entirely possible that I will knit a bit on it and realize I don't like it and will rip it out and find another combination. But I don't think so. I think that I'm going to like it like it is. I also cast on Without a Sound, which is a cowl pattern by Allie Coffey. And I am using the beloved, coveted Cakewalk Yarns Peppermint Patty. No, Peppermint Bark. That's what it's called. And I can thank my mom for this yarn also. When she was visiting me over Halloween weekend, she mentioned that she had a skein of it, and I wanted some of that yarn so bad, and unfortunately that you can't get that anymore. She's no longer dying. So my mom actually offered me hers and gave it to me when I was in Mississippi. So I wanted to cast on something almost immediately, and I wanted it to be not socks, and I've been wanting to do the Without a Sound cowl for a while, so I cast that on. And I'm not very far on that either. I think I've done one pattern repeat, I think. And this is a really cool cowl. It has drop stitches and garter, and it's a really easy pattern, and it's going to be really nice looking when I'm done. And then the last thing that I've worked on is my Hitafude, and this is a paid pattern by Hiroku Fukatsu, and I'm using Miss Babs Katahdin in the Ivies colorway, which is a tonal green. And I got probably about a repeat done on this one when I worked on it. I think I worked on it a couple of nights over the past few weeks. And again, once, you know, this one is one that I think will fly off the needles once I get past the sleeves. But I'm not there yet. So that has been a lot of knitting. I've done a lot of knitting over the past few weeks. It is so therapeutic, and I've just been randomly choosing something to work on each night and just going with the flow. It's been very, very zen, and I just love this knitting thing that we do. Spinning, I've also been doing, I don't have a lot to show for it, but I have been doing a bit of spinning. I spin every day, or try to. There was at least one day this week that I didn't have time, and my hand was kind of hurting a little bit, so I gave it a rest. But the main thing that I have worked on is the Fabjous Fibers that I mentioned in the last podcast. It is the braid was Merino Sparkle in the Camille colorway, which was, actually, you know what, I'm going to pull up a picture for me to look at, because I have a really hard time remembering the colors if I don't have it in front of me. So yes, it was mostly, like, if you look at it, green is the predominant color. So there's green, and it's barbicoled with blues and kind of a pinkish red and even some kind of like pale silvery pink / white. It's just, it's really, really pretty. And I finished this week. I had, at Stitches Texas, my friend Katie had actually bought the braid of fiber for me to spin for her, and her birthday was last weekend, so I timed my spinning of it so that I would have it done around her birthday. So I gave that to her earlier this week, and it turned out so amazing. I think that this was the best spinning I've ever done. I did a 2-ply. It turned out I got about 434 yards of fingering weight, and it is so soft, so stinking soft. I kept petting it. Katie, I'm sorry that I was petting your yarn constantly, but I kept actually taking it out of the bag and looking at it. It was so gorgeous. I loved spinning this fiber more than anything I've spun so far. It spun really well, and the sparkle in it, it wasn't sparkle like you often see where it was individual filaments. It was more like fiber that was sparkly. I don't know how to explain it other than that. And it, so instead of having these bits of sparkle, the whole thing kind of shimmers. It's just so pretty. Oh, it's just so pretty. So I finished that, and then I started earlier this week some Heavenly Fibers that I also got at Stitches Texas, and I believe it is the Snorkel colorway. I forgot to write it down, and I'll have to check it when I do it, you know, when I'm back and I podcast next time. But it is, it's, you know, when I looked at it in the braid, I just saw blue. I thought it was just basically a big turquoise blue braid. Not that it wasn't pretty, but it didn't seem super tonal. Now that I'm spinning it, it is quite tonal. There's actually some, like, a blue-green to a darker blue in there, and it's turning out really nice. And this is it's Polworth and Tussa Silk. And I'm, when I got it out and was prepping it for spinning, it felt a little compressed. It wasn't felted, but I knew that I wasn't going to be able to just spin it from the braid. Separate it into smaller bits, more like a pencil roving, in order to deal with it. And it's fine. As long as I have it in small strips like that, it's drafting just fine, and it's turning out really pretty also. So that is all of my spinning and my knitting. I do have a little bit of enabling. I think I only have the one thing. I think I mentioned that I had subscribed to the Greenwood Fiber Arts, Three Waters Farm Fiber Club. And I have actually gotten 3 shipments of that over the past, 3 months. I have not gotten to any of them yet. So the next fiber I'll have on the wheel will be one of those braids. So I do have that. I've been really happy with the colorways of all of those so far. And then I was really good on Black Friday or over the, Thanksgiving weekend, and didn't go crazy with buying anything. The only thing that I bought, as far as I remember, was some Leading Men Fiber Arts. I bought some worsted weight because he was having a good sale. And I was looking for... speaking of enabling, I guess this is enabling. Jeanette, Bookish Stitcher, gifted me a pattern. I hope you don't mind me mentioning that, Jeanette. And with a really sweet note after my brother died. And it was for a worsted weight shawl. And I don't remember the name of the pattern right now. It's by Sarah Graybach or Greisbach. I'm not sure how you say her name. But I can't remember the name of the pattern right now. But it was a big, big worsted weight shawl that would be like wrapping up in a hug. And I decided I didn't have any worsted weight to cast that on with. So I ordered me some found a good sale and ordered 3 skeins of this worsted weight from Leading Men Fiber Arts. And it is in the Purple Rain. Oh, I didn't even think about the fact that I've got something on my needles already in the Purple Rain colorway. This is also the Purple Rain colorway, and it is a beautiful purple. So pretty. Now, ironically, I've bought the yarn. I'm not sure I have the needles, because I need like a 32 to 40 inch needle, And I don't think I have one in the right size. I don't know if I do or not. So I may actually have to buy a needle too. And that will actually, I plan to cast that one on as soon as I can get the needle in place. I plan to cast that one on too. So I'll have another project on the needles. But so that's everything. I may try to go to a yarn store in Birmingham. There's actually one that's not very far from my hotel, but I'm not 100% sure that I'll have time to do that. More than likely, I won't have time, but there is a possibility that I'll do that. So let's move to In the Kitchen. So for In the Kitchen, we did have Thanksgiving here in the United States a week from today, actually. God, I can't believe it's been a week. And we always do a big meal as per, you know, the rest of the country, or most of the rest of the country. But we have apparently moved away from doing turkey. We didn't do turkey last year. We did a ham. And this year we decided to do a ribeye roast, which was, it turned out pretty good. I think I would have liked it maybe a little more rare. I need to tweak the cooking time on that particular roast. But it did turn out really good. The seasoning on it was great. And then we just did some of our traditional sides. I've talked about all of them. If you go back and find my Thanksgiving posts from the past couple of years, I didn't do anything new this year. The spinach casserole, green bean casserole, rolls, cranberry sauce, and the rib roast. I think that was everything that we had. And then I made a pumpkin silk pie for dessert, and that's the one thing that I want to talk about. I was going to make the pumpkin cake cheesecake that I made last year that is an absolutely fabulous dessert, but I didn't have time. I didn't really look at the instructions. I had to work the day before Thanksgiving, so I didn't have as much time to do it. And it's a very time intensive. Cheesecakes are time intensive anyway, but this one you have the cake batter and the cheesecake batter and you mix them together and it has to cook longer than normal. So I decided last minute that this is not what I wanted to do. Looked at through other recipes and found this one that I had almost everything that I needed. My husband needed to run to the store to get some half and half, on that Wednesday night, so I asked him to grab what I needed for this recipe. And it's a really simple recipe. It's cream cheese, which I already had because I was going to make the cheesecake, pumpkin, which of course I already had, and then Cool Whip and graham cracker crust, not graham cracker crust, gingerbread. Ginger snaps. You use ginger snaps to make the crust, and I think that's pretty much, I think that's everything that was in it. Can't remember if there was something else. Of course, pumpkin pie spice, you know, that kind of thing. But my husband, so he went to get half and half, and he texts me and tells me, or calls me to tell me that the frozen food aisle was closed. So it's the day before Thanksgiving, and they must have had some kind of mechanical problem, and he couldn't get anything off the frozen food aisle. So what did I want him to do about Cool Whip? And, you know, had a moment of panic. Then I'm like, well, what am I doing? Just bring me some heavy whipping cream and I will make my own. So that's exactly what I did. I made my own Cool Whip using a recipe. Actually, I think I used the Martha Stewart recipe. And the pie turned out fabulous. You mix the cream cheese and the pumpkin together and then you fold in the whipped cream and put it in this crust that you've made with butter and ginger snaps, and that's all there was to it. And it was so good. So simple and so good. So that is the only real In the Kitchen thing. We are still doing the Blue Apron thing. I mentioned that in the last podcast. And we are mostly enjoying it. I have discovered that I do not like kale. I gave it a couple of tries. I think I used two or three different recipes that had kale in it, and we are just not fans. None of us like it. So anytime that is one of the recipes, we'll either skip that week or try to trade it out with another recipe. We also have discovered that, well, I knew this already, but I gave it a try anyway. I'm not a fan of cod. So the meal we made last night there were cod fillets, and I was not a fan. The sides were really good, but the fish itself, nah. So that one, we'll pass on that next time too. On the nightstand, the last time I talked, I was reading John Saturnall's Feast by Lawrence Norfolk, and I finished that, and I really liked it. I've already read one book, finished an audiobook, and have started another book since I finished that one. So it's not fresh on my mind right now, but I did really like it. I like historical fiction, and that this was set in, it's the time of King Charles in England, when I don't know exactly when that is. So late 1600s. And it's the story of John Saturnall, who works his way up in the kitchens of a manor from kitchen boy to master chef or master cook or head cook or whatever they called it. And his romance with a certain person in the book that I'm not going to give away. And his trials and tribulations, and it was good. I think I gave it 4 stars in Goodreads. I'm terrible about talking about books, so I don't know why I do this every week. It was just something that I like to do. Humor me. The second one I finished was Shiver by Maggie Stiefvater, and this was popular several years ago. It's one of those that you'll often see on lists of, if you liked Twilight, then you might like this one. It is not about vampires, it is about werewolves, but it's not, there's not magic involved. It's more, like a biological condition, like something, like you get bit and then you change and you ultimately change into, you switch back and forth between human and wolf for a long time and then ultimately you end up a wolf. And it was really good. I ended up giving it 4 stars, considered giving it 5 stars, but what kept me back from that was that in the middle of the book, I wasn't excited about picking it up again. I just wanted to pick it up so that I would finish it. The last probably third of the book, I wanted to keep reading and keep reading and keep reading. So it definitely picked up, and I will definitely finish the series. The other books in it, I think, are Linger, which I own, and I think the only other one is Forever. I think it's called Forever. I think that's right. And I would recommend those. Maggie Stiefvater is also the author of The Raven Boys, which is a series, and I don't know what the name of the series is, and I've heard great things about that book, and my daughter actually texted me to tell me that I had to read it, and she was bringing me her copy over Christmas, so I'll probably read that sometime very soon. Highly recommend. I am currently reading Liar, Temptress, Soldier, Spy by Karen Abbott, which is nonfiction, and it is about 4 women and the roles they played in the Civil War, and the women are, it's not just Southern women or just Northern women. I think there are 2 of each. I'm less than 50 pages in, so I don't have a lot to say about that. But so far I'm enjoying it. On the drive between Houston and Baton Rouge tonight, I finished the audiobook Between Georgia by Jocelyn Jackson. And I really, really liked this book. This is the second Jocelyn Jackson book that I've read. I can't remember what the name of the first one was. I read a few years ago. But this one is about, the main character is Nani, and she is the daughter, she is biologically the daughter of, she was a teenage girl who gave her up immediately. And the mother who raised her is blind and deaf. And she has a twin, the blind deaf mother has a twin sister and another sister, and they all live in this very small town in Georgia, and they're very close, and gosh, why do I do this? It's just one of these, I want to say, very homey book. It's, if you've ever read Fanny Flagg, her writing style reminds me of Fanny Flagg. She, Nani has to come back to between, she's in the middle of a divorce, but she has to come back because her mother's twin was attacked by, Dobermans, who actually belonged to her biological grandmother. So see, you've got this convoluted Southern family thing going on. And so she comes back, and so it's her having to deal with the family situation and her divorce and, you know, her love life, you know, all of these things combined. It's just one of those, I don't even know what you call that genre. It's chick lit, basically. And it was really good. It had me in tears in the car, and I just really liked it. And I will definitely read more Jocelyn Jackson. I really appreciate you guys putting up with my really bad, really bad book reviews. As a librarian, I should be ashamed of my ability to do book talks. I am terrible at this. But I just want to tell you about these books, because if I'm reading them, they're good. If I have made it through the entire book, it's worth talking about, and I want you to know about them. That said, you can also follow me on Goodreads, where you can just see what I rated it, and that's good enough too. You can always skip past me talking and rambling about these books. Last but not least, I do have my giveaway, and I did a random number. Well, I didn't do random number generator. I have another randomizer that I use. We had, I believe, 9 entries, and I randomly chose one, and the winner of the Handspun is Crazy Knitting Fool. So, Crazy Knitting Fool, who is Kristen, I believe. Oh, gosh. I'm pretty sure you're Kristen. I'm going to check that on Ravelry, because I'm going to be embarrassed if you're not. I see you on Instagram all the time, but I only see your username. So let me see real quick. Oh, no. Thank you. Sorry, it's trying to make me sign into things. I don't want to sign into things. Ravelry. Friends. I'm getting there. Crazy Knitting Fool. What did I just do? About me. Ha! Yes, I'm right. Yay. Good. I didn't embarrass myself. Kristen. So, Kristen, contact me with your mailing address, and I will get this in the mail to you. It will not be immediately. Like I said, I am traveling. I will be back on Sunday, and if you get it to me before, if you get me your address before the end of the weekend, I should be able to actually get to the post office and mail this on Monday. So, I will do my best to do that. If you don't listen to this before then, I'm going to give you at least a week, and then if I haven't heard from you in a week, I'll send you a PM. If I don't hear from you before the end of the weekend and can't get it in the mail on Monday, I should be able to do it, on Saturday. So that is the plan. So thank you all for listening to me ramble. I am glad to be able to podcast again, and was glad to have a quiet hotel room to do it in. I will talk to you all soon. I'm not sure when I will get to podcast again. I plan to podcast again at least once before Christmas. And if not, I'll talk to you at the beginning of the year. But I am almost certain I'll find some time to podcast between now and the end of the year. So I hope you all have a great week, and I will talk to you soon. Bye.